From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I am coming to you live from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio in New York City. Corey joins us from Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we get ready for the Packers to shock the world in Detroit on Thanksgiving, but right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got
Jordan, 300 yards, love.
We got the bad, we got
the running game.
We got the ugly. We got
injuries. So many fucking injuries. Oh, my God. 17 dudes on the injury report as of yesterday. Finally got some designations, some updates. We'll get to that, obviously, here in a little bit. But, my God, so many injuries, Banky. It's ugly.
It's depressing. It's very depressing.
It's not great. But we are not going to fall prey to that depression, Banky. Never tell me the odds going into Detroit. The asteroid field that is Detroit. We're going to pilot that Millennium Falcon. We're going to come out the other side. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go. I'm ready. I'm also ready for something else. You ready for this, Banky? Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Yeah.
That was funny. That was perfect, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's the hotness, ladies
that
and gentlemen.
Was
Let's
it was
go.
Like...
Hey, man, it's Thanksgiving Eve. Whatever happens, it's all good. Yeah. We're going to make it work. And
we're probably going to lose. Oh, sorry. Did I say
would
that
you
loud?
Stop it? Stop it, Banky. Point of order, sir. I will not have it. This negativity, this dourness. No, sir. Not on the eve of the game. We are going to go
know,
in
I'm,
there.
I am very dour. I'm very dour ass. Right now. That's a really good turn of phrase. No, I'm very dour.
I'm a wordsmith. I'm dour. Man of letters. Very dour. I don't like it.
I'm dour.
I saw
that injury news.
Carry the G.
I saw that injury news, and I just wanted to cry.
Well, let's get to
I am
the
excited
news,
Patrick Taylor's back, though. That is exciting. I'll be
well, there is a lot of news, so let's get to it. Starting with the Packers listing 17 players on the injury report. 17 dudes. That's a lot of dudes. And to Corey's point, the Packers have signed Patrick Taylor off the Patriots practice squad. Patrick, of course, started the year with the Packers and was elevated three times and then promptly allowed to leave rather than bring him on long-term. Though they did sign him for one game and then release him and then signed with the Patriots practice squad, but now he's back. You got to think, obviously, his familiarity with the offense and their familiarity with him made that a bit of a no-brainer after the injuries to Emmanuel Wilson and, of course, Aaron Jones. Other roster news, lots coming this afternoon. Bo Melton and James Robinson were signed to the active roster. Bo Melton, the practice squad wide receiver who the Packers picked up off waivers last year towards the end of the season from Seattle. He's a burner. This kid's got some serious wheels. And James Robinson, the former Jaguars running back who the Packers had on their practice squad earlier this season and then cut him and then now have brought him back. He is on the active roster. And then the news that Corey saw prior to going live that really got him all upset and despondent. Luke Musgrave and Emmanuel Wilson placed on injured reserve. The reporting around Musgrave is insane, man. He suffered a lacerated spleen during the game.
Crazy.
Like when he stretched out for a ball from Love, fell on the football, lacerated his spleen, and finished the game. He played like 16, 17 more snaps after that, including like one where he gets tackled, one where he makes a catch. Like it's and these big, you know, blocks in line. Like, talk about a tough SOB. You know, Musgrave spent a little time in the hospital. Now he's out of the hospital, thank goodness, but he is on injured reserve. the recovery time is a little bit different for everybody, but you got to think 5 to 8 weeks. So there's a good chance his season is most likely done, but we'll see how that transpires here over the course of the second half of the season. Continuing with all the Packers news, the Packers have elevated Henry Pearson and Benny Sapp. Pearson's a fullback, though. Really, he's more of a move tight end kind of guy. We saw him this summer. He can't block a lick, so he should fit right in with the Packers.
Yeah, fit right in with the tight ends.
There you go. And Benny Sapp was elevated recently, and this will be his second elevation. He's a safety. He'll help out on special teams most likely. Of course, a lot of this is like pretty kind of getting you down kind of news. Here's some fun, news at least. Aaron Jones avoided long-term injury. I got to admit, Corey, when I saw Jones on the cart, I thought, is that his last game as a Green Bay Packer? That was literally my thought. And because no one knows what's going to happen this offseason, anything could happen, but it sure sounds like Jones will be back this season. So that's good news. Apparently an MCL injury, nothing long-term. And then finally, Darnell Savage designated to return off IR. He started quote-unquote practicing, though there's barely practice this week. But he will not be playing tomorrow. He's already been declared out. The injury report arriving just before we went live. Savage is literally the only guy listed as out. There's a couple of their questionables and doubtfuls. But, yeah, Savage won't play, but he has started his 21-day window wherein the Packers can activate him at any moment, which I think will most likely happen before the Chiefs game, but we'll see.
Also,
so that's your Packers news, Corey.
There's some news on there that didn't get put in because of the producer of the show. There's some news that Corey Behnke contributed to the script five things tonight. And so
five whole things.
Ladies and gentlemen. Five actual sentences.
We see you
and by the way, interestingly enough, did not get included in the script until one said talent showed up and looked in the script and had to get them in there.
Well, what's interesting is how in that the works. Past, when one of the co-hosts has wanted to, or like deigned to make notes prior to the show, they've done it on a piece of paper that they've then shown to the camera and never
shared those
notes in any possible kind of way that the other producer would know, oh, hey, I should go look there and then I can incorporate said notes. But, you know, having never done that before, the producer probably didn't know where to look and probably wasn't aware that there were notes to be included. So
That makes sense. That might be
what happened.
I understand.
Yeah, exactly. Lack of process, I believe.
Speaking of incompetence, tomorrow at Watch Party, yours truly will be producing and starring in the Watch Party. So get ready for some more incompetence from your friends here at Cheesehead TV.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. Although, you know, you say that, but you used to produce this show while you were on camera.
Yeah, and how well did that go sometimes?
Some days were better.
Especially when certain co-hosts would forget to push the record button. I'm not going to say who.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Or when people would mute things and then you'd have to wait till the comments on YouTube like 15 seconds later to be like, I can't hear you.
That was great.
Those are great times.
That was great. Those are fun, fun times. Don't you miss that?
I don't.
All right. Should we talk about the Packers offense or you want to keep
it? Yeah. Packers offense is good. I like it.
It's pretty good. It's coming aboard there now late in the season. I kind of like where they're headed. Jordan Love, his first 300-plus yard game. I mean, incremental progress, right?
How many clips did on Sunday? Did we see of people saying Jordan Love? The New York Times posted Matt Schneidman's article about did the Packers find their quarterback of the future? I mean, it's like one good game. We've all been waiting to file these articles and TikToks and all kinds of things about how great. I mean, you saw everything we saw from Jordan last weekend. You've seen all season. It's just it felt like he kind of put some stuff together and he actually won a game at the end.
And the offense, right? I mean, that's the other thing. It's like Matt always says it. There's 10 other guys working with him on this thing, you know, and they also elevated their game and played more consistently. And lo and behold, yeah, they moved the ball and they scored some points. It's funny how that works. But I don't think it's, you know, telling tales out of school or being disingenuous to say, and I kind of talked about this on Daily earlier this week. You know, you look at Jordan Love, that stretch between, say, the Lions game through the Broncos game, to the Jordan Love and the quarterback we've seen out there from the Rams game to the you know, Chargers game, it's a pretty different dude. Like, yes, the other guys around him are playing better and more consistently, and that's certainly helping. And I do think Matt has changed some of his approach. But for the most part, I think Jordan Love has improved right before our eyes, and he's playing better and more consistently right now than he was, say, a month and a half ago. And I don't think that's a shocking statement. I think, and that's a good thing. That's what we want. Well, we'll see. Tomorrow's going to be a buzzsaw. I'm very interested to see how he comes out and how the offense comes out. Speaking of the offense,
do the Packers. Yeah. So this is something I was thinking about in the Patreon happy hour, and it just kind of struck me, but like, do the Packers have a number one wide receiver? And if so, who is it? And the reason I say this is not to pick on any one person, but just to say, you know, it's kind of a good thing that the Packers don't really have a number one. They got four guys who are kind of coming up at the same time. It's really kind of exciting. And I just think, you know, it's something that I haven't personally thought about, but I think, you know, all the detrimental things of having a not having a number one and not having wide receivers that have played before or that much. I mean, Dobbs played last year, Watson played last year, but to not have guys that played together, it's kind of a good thing. We're seeing them all kind of grow together. And at some point, you got to imagine that's going to be a powerhouse for this Packers team. Maybe not this year, but at some point.
I mean, I agree. I absolutely agree. And I love the idea of defenses not being able to cue on anybody, right? I love every one of those guys. I think Wicks, Reed, Watson, Dobbs, they all have, you know, their moments and their things they bring to the table. I'm really encouraged that Wicks hasn't been declared out for tomorrow's game, because I do think he's not, maybe not got the special sauce, and I don't think he's number one per se, but it's clear that, you know, Jordan looks for him. When things break down, he's always kind of available, right? He always finds kind of a hole in the zone. In fact, let's take a look. I think we, in your hurry,
never showed the hotness.
Eagerness, your eagerness to chastise your co-host.
We played the hotness, but we didn't play the
video. You ran right over
so
the fact that we were going to show Jordan Love throwing
that's
to Wicks.
Hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sir, go back and look. Well, here we go. We got Jordan Love escaping the pocket. Look at this. And then square in the shoulders. I like that. You know, I'm sure Tom Clemens wasn't a huge fan of throwing back into the middle of the field, but hey, it worked. It was productive. And again, there's Wicks, right? Making himself available. You look at the structure of the play. He's breaking open. He does a good job of continuing to make himself available. Some guys would have, you know, maybe drifted or tried to like run back upfield or what have you. And Wicks stays with it. And that's good for your quarterback. So yes, that is hot. That is hotness. That throw is hotness.
Do the Packers have four good offensive linemen? Can someone answer this? Do we have four? Okay, don't even get me started on do we have five, because there's no way on God's green earth we have five. Last night in the Patreon happy hour, this also hit me. And I was like, you know, we keep talking about let this guy play and let this guy play. And then I was looking at the depth chart, right? And I was like, wait a second. There aren't five good guys on here. Holy crap. Are there even four? Somebody answer this for me.
Now, here's the question for you, Mr. Benke.
Yes.
Are they only good if you've seen them produce, if you've watched them with your own two eyes? Or can guys that we've not seen, or perhaps not seen since training camp, not be good?
Okay, I'll give you that. So Yosh, okay, I'm going to give it up for... Okay, let's start with the best offensive lineman we have, right? That's not named David Bakhtiari.
Elton Jenkins.
Can everybody agree on that? Okay, then I'm going to give it to
Zach Tom.
To Yosh. I would give it to Yosh, then Zach Tom.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
Whatever. So there's three.
That's three, okay?
I'm not touching Runyon or Newman with a 10-foot pole. We're just going to put them in the bad category.
Okay.
Rashid Walker's in the gray category, right? So he's gray, right?
I'd say he probably had a better game than Yosh Nijman on Sunday.
Well, and I think Rashid Walker, I think his stock is rising. He's probably one of the younger ones.
Yeah.
Caleb Jones, we don't know anything about, right? We don't know nothing.
Well, he's exactly who I'm talking about when I say, like, we don't really know. I mean, Yosh Nijman was sitting on the sideline for 2 years until he started in San Francisco in week 3 a couple years ago and then went on to play a bunch of tackle for them at a pretty damn high level. It's like, Every time I've seen Caleb Jones, he's looked pretty damn good. But he can't dress for whatever
reason. So that leaves, we agree on three good ones, okay? And then,
three good so far.
Do we think Sean Ryan is good or not? Is Sean Ryan in the same place that Rashid Walker is right now, kind of in this gray area, potentially ascending?
Gray, very gray.
So we have three good offensive linemen, which is sad.
He's promising.
It's very sad. It's very sad.
He's promising. You didn't even mention Josh Myers. I love that. Like, you're just, Josh Myers out of your...
Josh Myers is so fucking dead to me, bro. Josh Myers has been dead to me for like a year, seriously.
He's played better. He's been more consistent. He's
he's played the best of his career.
All right.
According to Goody and Coach, he's played the best of his career. Yeah. I kind of feel like the problem is that I think this is the problem. Okay, this is one problem with the Packers right now.
Give it to me. What's
how
the problem?
Come we all? Ooh, look at that purple and pink. Little
beautiful.
Little,
I know. I was just enjoying that.
How come this is? Somebody explain this to me. Why don't we just get a good offensive line coach and we always like elevate them before they've really done what they need to do? You know what I mean? It's like Stenovich. It's like, you know, he just gets elevated right away and like, I don't know. It's like, I think that's our problem. Too much elevation of the offensive line coach. Too early.
I think that's a very simplified way to look at it. I think.
Well, there's just not enough time for the team to gel with the offensive line.
Well, and there's a matter of what's available and who are you throwing out there as far as starters and or guys you're wanting to develop. There's reasonings behind like who's playing, who's not, who's getting the reps, who isn't. I think there's also the case of, like Stenovich looked like a great offensive line coach when he had a bunch of talent given to him. Then he gets, you know, the gig as an OC. Now everyone's down on Butkus because they're struggling at times. But I'll say this, like, there are tons of moments that you can point to with any offensive line where a guy gets beat or doesn't have a great rep or whatever. And because we as Packers fans have such a robust community, especially as content creators, people covering the team and things like that, when Josh Myers has a bad play or Runyon misses a block or whatever, everyone points it out and everyone cuts it up and puts it on Twitter. But no one cuts up and puts out their good plays, of which there are plenty, plenty. So it's like we have this kind of groupthink mentality as Packers fans where it's like, I remember seeing those awful plays. That guy must be awful. It's like,
I agree with you. It
feels a little over the top.
I agree with you, but what's not over the top is that I just went through our whole fucking offensive line and we agreed that we only have three good ones. Okay, so
three good ones.
You're right, but at the same time, we should have five. Like, what the fuck
what
is going
this season?
On? Goody?
What is this season about? It's about development. It's about looking at our team and trying to, you know, find the talent and find the guys worth developing. And that's what they've been doing with Rashid Walker. Maybe, hopefully, Sean Ryan gets into the mix here second half of the season, right? So now what is the goal? To grow your offensive line. The best offensive lines are grown organically, internally. Like, going out and getting guys in free agency is always great in the spring and everyone gets all excited, but it's always, always better to grow your offensive line from within, which is what the Packers have done by, utilizing 13 draft picks over the last couple of years on offensive linemen. Again, we have no idea what they have in guys like Caleb Jones. Like, none.
No.
Because they haven't been able to see the field yet. But they did a pretty damn good job with Josh Nyman, so as their program is, I think I'm willing to be patient. And yeah, that means we're going to be frustrated sometimes on Sundays, but that's part of the gig when you're having this kind of reset of the roster, which is what 2023 is all about. That's my take on it. You're right. In the moment, yeah, probably three good ones.
You know, I feel like
two guys that are ascending.
We're not going to do this, but I really feel like we need to get a free agent center next year, but it's not going to happen. So I know it's not going to happen. But I really would be happy if we could do that.
Well, I wouldn't hold your breath. Let's put it that way.
No, I'm not.
It's Tucker Kraft time, by the way. It is time for Tucker Kraft. What's crazy to me is that this kid was really starting to look like he was, you know, putting it together a little bit. Like, they're obviously have been using him a little bit more. I mean, getting more snaps, getting more reps. And now he's going to have to be a focal point when it comes to whatever they want to do with tight end in this offense. You know, Musgrave, he's out for the foreseeable future. Josiah DeGuara is doubtful for tomorrow. I doubt he's going to play. So we're going to have Pearson, who they just called up. We're going to have, you know, the guy they got off waivers from the Vikings this summer. And it's going to be the Kraft show, most likely. And, hey, what a time, right? Let's go. Let's use Tucker Kraft a little bit. I loved his run after the catch ability there against the Chargers. Might need that in Detroit tomorrow.
Who's the Lions?
It's a good time.
Who's the Lions' best defensive lineman?
Hutchinson.
Okay.
Their defensive
end. Here's what I guarantee tomorrow. Tomorrow, there will be a play where Tucker Kraft goes in motion and is asked to block Hutchinson. I guarantee it. I guarantee it's going to happen.
You are most likely correct. You are most likely.
And he is going to completely whiff on the block, not because he's bad, but because he's being asked to do something that's dumb.
There's a good chance that's going to happen. Yeah.
Thanks, Adam Stenovich. Appreciate it, buddy.
That's a good chance. Wait. So that's Stenovich's fault, but not LaFleur's fault? How does that work?
I mean, well, he's the offensive coordinator.
He is, but it's Matt's offense. Everything is in service to Matt. So Matt's calling the plays.
Okay, I don't care.
I know Matt LaFleur doesn't know what that means.
I'm not trying to not blame LaFleur. I'm just saying that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's all. I'm just making an observation. Right.
Okay. So we're gonna steer away from the negative and we're gonna go to the positive.
Sorry. I just think it's funny when I see it. I'm gonna laugh.
We're gonna give AJ Dillon some praise because
You
could not move for love or money the first like month of the season without people talking shit about AJ Dillon. I couldn't go on the radio. I couldn't do a Packers daily chat without at least two or three questions. What's wrong with AJ? What are they going to do about AJ Dillon? Why is AJ Dillon still on the team? We should cut AJ Dillon. And now AJ is playing his fucking ass off. I mean, not just between the tackles, not just what he's traditionally kind of asked to do as far as toting the rock and trying to get hard yards, which he has been doing. But there's a play against the Chargers where everything's covered downfield. Jordan Love goes to AJ in the left flat as the check down. AJ like trucks three dudes to get a first down. You know, it's like, it's little things like that that are going to help you stay ahead of the sticks, move the ball, keep you kind of in advantageous situations. And now suddenly I'm never asked about AJ Dillon. No one ever, I don't get questions on daily. I'm not asked about it on the radio. So I just want to say AJ Dillon is kicking ass and I'm really happy to see it.
I agree.
Good stuff.
I think there's some times where AJ Dillon looks, I think I said this on Watch Party, he kind of reminds me of Dorsey Levens when he catches the ball.
Yeah, in the passing game. I see that. Definitely. Do you have anything else in offense that you wanted to talk about?
You're so polite. What happened
you
to
like
you?
That?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I'm always polite.
Who are you right now? It's so weird. I feel like the way that Lambeau Field is lit up, it's like there's a fire behind Lambeau Field. It's like,
it looks amazing.
I have a question for fans. I was thinking about that kind of came up. And I was thinking about this, and I don't know the answer, but it kind of vibes like this. Is the Packers offense more conservative than it was when it started this season? And is there any evidence to support it? Field goal attempts versus fourth down tries? It's just something I kind of been feeling in my gut. Like, I feel like over time, these last few games, the offense has gotten a little bit more conservative in a good way, right? And I wonder if the evidence bears it out. And, of course, I have no evidence to support that. I'm just saying it to the ether. But what do you think, Nagler?
That's kind of our whole show, isn't it? We don't have evidence to support any of this. We just go by our gut.
I know, but I know there's evidence.
It's all
evidence.
It does feel that way, though, right? I think you're right. And look, between the end of the first half in Pittsburgh, where you and I were both aghast going into halftime with two timeouts, minute left, you don't even try to push the ball down the field. And then the end of the game against the Chargers, where Matt LaFleur himself called himself out. He said, that's on me, you know, like probably should have been a little bit more aggressive there. But look, and I think I talked about this on Happy Hour last night. Like, I get that that four game losing streak where they could not move the ball in the first half, let alone score points. I think LaFleur decided, okay, I have to button it up a little bit and bring these guys along a little bit slower. Now, I don't think he's gone into a shell or anything. I mean, they're still throwing the ball down the field. They're still doing everything you could possibly want on offense, as schematically, you know, concept-wise. But decision-making, to your point, trying a field goal rather than, you know, pushing the ball on a fourth down, whatever. I do think there's a little truth to that, and it does feel right. But, yeah, to your point, I don't have evidence for it. But I do understand it. For a coach who's, like, you know, coming off a first season in town where he didn't make the playoffs, and then you're sitting there having won, what, two, three, now four games, you got to pile up some victories. You're trying to give yourself the best chance to win. And I understand with a young team where a lot can go wrong, you never know who's going to make a mistake when. I kind of understand the end of the Chargers game. Yeah, I'm going to run it three times. We're going to punt. We're going to play defense. I don't hate that. Like, yes, is it frustrating as a fan in the moment? Do I want him to try, at least try to pick up that first down on third down? Yeah, no doubt about it. But I get it, man. I understand intellectually. No. We're going to button it up. We're going to run it three times. We're going to make the Chargers use their timeouts. We're going to punt away. And the percentages, this is basically what you're doing there, right? You're playing percentages. The percentages are in our favor. So even then, took the Chargers dropping a ball up the right sideline for that to work, you know? But I get it. I understand it. It's frustrating in the game, but again, pulling back, you're a coach. You're trying to win ball games. You're trying to do the things that give you the best chance to win those games. I think getting a little bit more conservative makes a lot of sense, which is why I wore this hoodie tonight, by the way. All gas, no fucking break tomorrow. That's what I want to see. You're playing with house money, LaFleur. You're playing with house money. Let's go.
I love how I know, asked you a question that I was going to get like,
I'm trying
one
to make
minute,
it
and then
into
you,
the
you Packers
ether.
Dailied me with that answer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You turned into Packers Daily on that answer. It was funny.
I'm trying to help you out, buddy. Trying to give you a little knowledge.
I'm never asking you a question on this show ever again.
Very good. Should we talk about the defense?
Yep.
Your favorite subject. Your favorite topic. Your favorite side of the ball. Let's be honest.
I was looking at the Packers depth chart, and I saw that there's an outside linebacker called Brenton Cox Jr., and I was like, who the
yes.
is that? No idea. Zero clue.
He's an undrafted kid. He had a good camp. He hasn't dressed, I don't think,
also,
outside of
who's
like,
Robert
one
Rochelle?
Game.
Never heard of him.
A cornerback that they picked up
yeah,
off
I know
waivers
it's a
from,
cornerback.
Or no, from the practice squad edition from the Carolina Panthers a couple weeks ago.
Also, Christian Welch. Never heard of him. Never heard of him one time.
There you go. Just
crazy. It's crazy. Wow, look at that sky. Holy moly. This Packer transplants, this is some crazy stuff. It looks even better. Holy crap. Looks pretty nice. It's very orange. I like it.
On defense, Carl Brooks is ascending. Let's get this kid more snaps. I mean, yeah, he had the sack, but not beyond just the sack of Herbert last week or on Sunday. He's playing well in limited snaps. This kid is playing well. Get him out on the field. He had a couple plays against the run where he absolutely dominated the guard for the Chargers. I mean, look, the Lions have, they're down. The one guy that they're going to be missing tomorrow, I love that the Packers are out like probably 10 starters at least. The Lions have one starter down. It's a guard. Like, can we get Carl Brooks over to this guy and make his life hell? Because this kid is ascending, and I want to see more.
You know, everybody on the chat who's saying, like, I don't know who Packer players are, I guarantee you the four people I mentioned, you've never heard their name before, okay? Not you, Nagler, just the people watching the show. This is my point.
Right.
It's a point that I'm making.
I don't know. I think some people in the chat have probably heard about it because they do follow this stuff religiously like I do, but I have zero doubt there are plenty who also don't. Yes.
Correct. I'm there for the people who don't, and I do follow it religiously, but I'm there for the people who don't. That's who I am. That's what I'm about.
Very good.
Also, never heard of Zane Anderson. I'm telling you right now.
Like, he made a big special teams tackle on Sunday.
I do vaguely remember that. But besides last weekend, you could have said Zane Anderson, and I would have been like, oh, who's that?
They picked him up off waivers from Buffalo this summer, and then he was promptly like injured and missed a ton of time, prompting Tyler, our social media guru, to start a campaign that Zane Anderson wasn't a real person, which prompted Cassidy Hill to interview the actual real Zane Anderson in the Packers locker room and make a video about how he was a real person. So,
got it.
That's the influence you have, Banky. That's what I'm trying to tell you here. All the
got
influence.
It.
Hey, you know how I'm not a big Joe Barry fan. I'm not, you know, high on Joe Barry. And I often malign him both during the game and during the week. I am here to say Barry made a good adjustment at the end of the game. I gotta give him, you know, throw him his flowers, give him some props. If I'm going to bitch about all the stuff I don't like about Joe Barry, I do want to, you know, talk him up, so to speak, or point out when I think he does something well. Even though the single high safety stuff was kind of scary, as evident by the drop pass up the right sideline, I will give him credit for the adjustment he made those last two drives when he had not every single down, but he had Quay Walker spying almost kind of a mush rush on Herbert, who had absolutely killed the Packers all afternoon with his legs. And you could tell Herbert wanted to take off, at least on two of those plays, only to see Quay Walker shadowing him. And then he thought he had second thoughts. So that was an effective adjustment from Joe at the very end of the game when they absolutely needed to have it. And we have had many games where, okay, the defense needs to make a play, needs to seal the deal, and they haven't done it. And on Sunday, they did. And in no small part to that adjustment that Joe made. So, like I said, if I'm going to bitch about him, I got to give him props when it's warranted. And that was absolutely warranted right there.
I hate to interrupt your monologue about Joe Barry, but I'm going to go take a picture of Lambeau Field. But before I do that, I want to drop this knowledge bomb on Packers fans.
Drop this knowledge.
Okay. And anybody saying Peter Bukowski knows things, he knows lots of things. He studies this stuff for a living. So he's already told us. So, hey, you guys. Packers defense right now is ranked 10th in points, you guys. 10th. That's crazy. No one believes it, but it is the truth. And I'm going to go take a picture because I want Nagler can monologue about this real quick. I got to take a picture of Lambeau Field right now to post on Twitter. And so I'll be right back.
That's how we roll here. I'm not going to monologue. I'm just going to sit here in silence until Corey gets back. And so, you know, obviously that's why the Packers ranking 10th in points per game is a total fallacy. So how was it? Did it look as great in person?
Oh my God,
was it as amazing as you hoped?
I mean, what's crazy is what you don't see is like there's this like other purpley. It's like there's like red purple. And purple. I mean, it's crazy. Right. You can see it in this. It's even more purpley. Oh, yeah, it's crazy. You're going to retweet it. I know.
That looks like a painting.
Yeah, you're going to retweet this, buddy.
The rookie corners, they're taking their lumps. And God help us, I'm scared for tomorrow. Jair is, you know, a questionable. He was questionable going to the Chargers game. I'll be surprised if he plays. I'm hoping he does. Because, whoo, baby, Valentine and Ballantyne. I know we're having fun with their names. And Valentine's all, you know, energy, he's up and all this stuff. But, man, he had, like, three or four plays against the Chargers where he tried to get up in guys' grills and, like, get physical. And he completely whiffed. I mean, just whiffed. Can't have that tomorrow, dude.
It's going to happen. You know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm glad I chose that moment to take that picture. I'm going to be honest with you because it's gone. The moment is gone. This is what happens.
I know, exactly. Moment, it's magic hour, baby. You got the magic hour.
You have
hour.
To take the moment. I know. I hope everybody is patient, and I appreciate it, but I'll appreciate everybody retweeting this picture when I post it after the show. Thank you.
It's very good. Thank you for previewing the Packers-Lions game tomorrow. The Lions are 7.5-point favorites against the Packers, according to FanDuel. 7.5. That's a significant
That's it.
Number.
Seemed
Man,
low.
I thought it'd be 5. I thought it'd Seemed be 5 low. Or 6. 7.
I thought it would
half.
Be 14 or like 13. 12.5.
You're crazy,
better.
Man. We're not the Panthers. Come on now. Lord. We're not the Giants. Your negativity is really, really pissing me off, Banky. This is the Green Bay fucking Packers, man.
You know
is
what?
The 70s?
Okay. I love how you're so optimistic during transplants, but then come watch party. Oh, dear. Then we got
Oh, hey. Who did Ken call out at happy hour last night? It wasn't me. Who did Ken call out during watch party? It wasn't me.
Yeah, because I'm negative one time. You're negative all the time in watch party.
I'm like, never negative.
It's like ever. you
unless
can't
it's a three man
stop
rush, then
talking
I'm
shit about Joe Barry in watch party. Basically, that's correct. That's correct.
I just gave negative. The man props. I just gave the man props
for one adjustment, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah, it helped win the game. That's pretty good.
He made an adjustment.
He did. I mean, usually, remember the Steelers game. We're making adjustments when they brought the safety down. It was like, and then the Steelers went, oh, okay, we'll run away from the safety. By the way, that dude, the guy who made Joe Barry look incompetent in Pittsburgh, got fired this week. That's how bad he is at his job, yet he looked really good at it against Joe Barry. So, yeah, I'm going to talk shit about Joe Barry. That's
yeah, but here's
happen.
The thing. So how do you square that with we're 10th in points?
I just went on a whole monologue about that, dude. No, you have to listen to the podcast.
I have to go back and watch myself take a picture.
I ain't going through all
I'm
that
just
again.
Saying, like, how do people square this away? It's
okay, it's real easy. I mean, real simple. Teams can run on us, right, with impunity. So the games are shorter, so they just take all this time, and then they end up in an end zone. They don't need to do it to land on 30 points. They can do it and land on, like, 20 points. Which, you know, across the league, that's pretty average, a little better than normal, blah, blah, blah. But if you're an opponent, yeah, I'll just bide my time. I'll just take what they give me. I'm going to go all the way down. It was like I was joking about the USC game. It's like USC just let them go, like kept letting UCLA just, okay, keep it all in front of us, keep it all in front of us, all the way into the end zone. So that takes time. So there's not enough time because they don't allow big plays, although they actually secretly do. So then, yeah, people aren't scoring a ton of points. Well, great.
Do they, though?
They're still winning. It's annoying, man. It's just annoying.
I don't understand how that's annoying. Here's the thing. Let's take a little look at the teams that have good defenses. San Francisco 49ers, number one in points allowed. Oh, no, let me do total points. Sorry. Total points. San Francisco 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs, Dallas Cowboys, Baltimore Ravens, Cleveland Browns, Buffalo Bills, Pittsburgh Steelers, New Orleans Saints, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Green Bay Packers.
Okay, and?
Those are all pretty
what
good
is that
teams.
List supposed to, what is that list supposed to tell me?
That those are all pretty good teams.
They are indeed.
What's a team not good? Buffalo Bills, I guess. They're not good this year, right?
I mean, they've won, what, one more game than the Packers this year?
New Orleans Saints, are they good this year?
I don't know. We beat them, so they can't be that great.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I hear you. I hear you. Can I continue on with the preview of the Lions and
things,
the Packers
what
here?
What things look like and what they are are two different things.
It's not always the same. It's very different things. Rookie Colby Sorsdal is coming off a real rough game at left guard. This is who I was talking about before. Their one dude from their starting lineup who isn't playing is their left guard. Can we take advantage of this kid? We need to – He let like four pressures against the Lions. Against the Bears, and that's the Bears. I mean, the Bears suck. We need to take advantage of this kid. I hope Wyatt and Brooks and Kenny have a field day against this guy. And then on the flip side, Packers need to have an answer for Sam Laporta. He killed them last time. He has only gotten better since then. The Packers are like 25th in defensive DVOA against tight ends. It's gonna this Sam Laporta could single handedly make this a bloodbath. We gotta have an answer for him. Gotta do it. Corey, I know you'll like this. This week on our Deion Sanders quote of the week. Oh, it's not just a quote, sir. We got video this week because this is just
nice.
absolutely classic. Roll it.
Live up to your expectations.
Yeah, my expectations are out of the darn park. You gotta understand, man. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
What's those little four heads that's in California? What do they call those? The people faces engraved?
Rushmore.
Come on, man. South Dakota. I sat up there. It's in where?
South Dakota.
I thought it was in L.A. all this time. Wow, my geography. That's the Hollywood thing? That's what I thought. I'm sorry. Thank you for educating me. Jesus, South Dakota.
We're going to trim that.
yeah, my expectations.
I love that. Jesus, South Dakota. We're all over the map. I don't know. I feel like I'm tripping. What happened?
I was like, all right, let's do it. Let's go.
I know. I was all ready to go. Right. Anyway, I just love Jesus, South Dakota. That was hilarious. Jesus, South Dakota.
I knew he was talking about Mount Rushmore right away.
Yep.
But I don't understand. Is LA. His expectations in park or is his expectations high?
I think he says out of the park. My expectations are
out of the park.
Meaning they're
really
high.
I was like,
high.
Wait, you yeah. parked your expectations? I got it. Yeah. Got it.
And the fact that he thought Mount Rushmore was in LA is just
that's great.
An all time favorite. It's so great. It's so great. And I get what he's like, the juxtaposition of the Hollywood sign, right? And then your mind goes, oh, like that thing, that's in LA. Like, no, it's Mount Rushmore's. South Dakota. All right, let's go to Blogosphere.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I have only one thing to say this week. Evan Siegel is the GOAT. The GOAT! Look at this picture pregame from Sunday. Look at that. That's just one of like 100 phenomenal shots that Evan took on Sunday. Evan Siegel, the official photographer for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, that's like biblical. That's amazing. This guy is so good. The Packers are so lucky to have him. Evan Siegel is the GOAT. That's all I
got. I just saw him on Saturday.
How's he doing?
Good. Got to say hi to him. I got to see some stuff that not everybody gets to see. I got to see all the new facility for the Green Bay Packers.
Ooh,
very privileged to be able to take a nice tour, and it's pretty neat. It's pretty dope.
Is it baller?
It's pretty cool. The best was I got to meet one of the older equipment gentlemen, and I was wearing my like 1960s throwback coach jacket because it had Green Bay Packers embroidered on it. And he literally was like looking at it after I met him. He kept staring at it. And you could tell that, like, he was like, because it's a one they sold at the Pro Shop a couple years ago. So it's like, I can't remember that vintage NES, something in NES.
I know what you're talking about.
They make like, because I have the Bart Starr throwback jersey. I got the Nitschke one, and like they Ness, whatever something in Ness, they make them. But they make them per like what they were and they looked like. And I have this green one, and he was just like, I love that. It was great. He was giving a tour of all the flyover guys, and it was in the equipment room.
Oh, nice.
So it was like really, it was really cool, the weight room, and it was just cool. They have this like the facility where they have the projection where they do the plays, and then the project, like, you basically line up your 11 against the other 11, but the 11 is a projection, and then it's really cool. It's like a 50-yard line indoor facility that they practice in. I never saw before. It's like, it's so amazing. And they got, and then of course we didn't get to see all the coolest stuff. Like, obviously we didn't get to go up to where the coaches are and where the pro personnel is, all where the players come in. There's this awesome, like, where they have the four Super Bowl trophies, which are they apparently the Packers have two. You get two Super Bowl trophies when you win the Super Bowl, and one of them is in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, people go in the Hall of Fame. Right. They've got those tubes that you come at the end of the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. So they put the other four behind this screen, but you don't realize they're there. And then they show this video, and it, like, this, like, freaking lightning comes. And then you realize the actual Super Bowl trophies are behind the glass of the screen. It's ridiculous. It's so cool. And they put up this graphic that's like 13 world champions. And then they light up the Super Bowl trophies. It's freaking, it's amazing.
That sounds dope as shit.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's just really cool to, like, the whole add-on they did, and it was interesting to see it, and, you know, it was fun.
I mean, it looks so expansive and amazing and subterranean. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it's way more above ground than I thought. I mean, you know, from what I thought originally everything was going to be underground, but that's just where the parking garage and stuff is. That's pretty, it goes pretty far underground, but it's really neat. I mean, I'm glad they did it. Like, I think the Packers are really happy that they have it, and a lot of people don't realize they have it. I mean, a lot of people see that building, but they don't realize, you know, what it's for. And my understanding is they're going to redo. So where the coaches were, they're going to redo all of that next year. And so they should have like a completely new facility inside of Lambeau for all staff by the draft, which is pretty sick.
Nice. Well, and that's like the column right behind you, isn't it? Like where Matt's office used to be, and like where some digital things are.
So behind me, that's what they're redoing all of that. But so staff, regular staff still is there. When I say regular staff, like the broadcast staff, marketing, you know, non-scout non-football. And pro personnel, non-football. I guess they're gonna basically get that whole area is gonna get redone, and that's gonna be cool. So. Yeah, they're nonstop, and I saw that there's a new Mexican restaurant opening in Titletown, which is really exciting.
Man, Titletown's amazing. It just keeps growing.
I'm so excited.
Cool.
It's called Bel Air Cantina. I'm really excited about it, actually. I hope it's good.
There you go. All right. Rock and roll. Do you have anything else in blogosphere, or should we get to YouTube comments?
Well, has Matt LaFleur bought himself another year? What do you think?
That's an interesting question. I don't think he needed to. I think my guess is, and it's only a guess, that Mark Murphy and the powers that be, which is mostly Mark Murphy, and possibly the executive committee, went into this year knowing that it was going to be hard and ripping off the Band-Aid of both Aaron Rodgers and jettisoning so much veteran talent and going so extremely, you know, the other direction with the youth, especially on offense. They knew that this was going to be a tough season, and they knew Matt would have, you know, kind of being up against it as far as the salary cap and things like that, guys who haven't played a lot, etc. I don't ever think he had to buy himself another year. I think, you know, the understanding was, okay, we're going to take our lumps this season. Next year, we should be in the playoffs. Like, that's just, again, total guesswork on my part. I mean, 2 years sans playoffs. Yeah, it's tough times in Titletown. If you're calling yourself Titletown, yeah, the expectation is you're competing for a title. 2 years out of the running, that doesn't sit right. But I think in their mind, I'm not saying this is, I completely agree with this, but in their mind, this was a necessary kind of evil, so to speak, of a season where, okay, Matt, we know it's going to be tough. You're safe this year. Next year, we're back in the playoffs. That's my guess.
Okay. I feel like he bought himself another year.
I just don't think he needed to.
No, I hear you.
Maybe he did.
I just thought it was an interesting question. I don't know what I think either way. I think he probably, I do think he bought himself another year, but you're right. You could be right where they're like, okay, well, he gets 2 years just because we got Jordan and we're cap heavy for 2 years at least, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's all I got.
All right. So let's hit up some super chats, some YouTube comments, as it were.
On Culture Barbarian, this week on a special Brandy and the Barbarian, we debate which one of us is sicker of Joe Barry's defensive schemes. I predict Brandy will win in round 10. Have a great Thanksgiving, y'all. I'm hoping we'll see
happy
you tomorrow,
man.
Cultures, but happy Thanksgiving. Eddie Petsky, block 97 and figure out everything else after that.
Word.
Yeah. We'll block
it. It's a good gameplay, man.
Motion tight end. Uncultured Barbarian. I'm calling it now, boys and girls. Tomorrow's bonus jam will be Long Train Running, because without love, where would you be now?
The wordplay. So impressive.
It really is. Thanks, Super Chat. JP, if the Pack can pull off one of these next two games, the schedule of the last month of the season doesn't look so bad. 9 wins, 7th seed still possible. JP, with that.
Playoffs?
Optimism. Joe Mailman, how do you define number one wide receiver? You know, your go-to guy. Your guy that you design plays for. The guy where when you need to get a first down, that's the guy. I mean, I would say, Romeo Doubs in the red zone is a number one wide receiver. There's no doubt about it. That's the guy you're going to. That's the guy you're going to play off of. But other than that, I don't think there's a guy.
I think Jaden Reed is getting there. I don't think he's there yet, but he's getting there. He has the opportunity.
But the problem with Jaden Reed, and this may not happen. I hope it doesn't. He hasn't had a sophomore year yet. Until you've had your sophomore year, we don't know nothing.
No, I know. Of course. Naturally.
Because slump, that's why Watson, that's where Watson is right now, right? He's just hopefully getting out of his sophomore slump. And, hopefully. Ayahuasca. I totally thought the beer was the hotness, and I was cool with that. We made
talk about
it.
The hotness.
We figured it out. We figured it out. We're good at figuring it out eventually. Marshall Duke. Any chance we sign a veteran free agent O-lineman? Yeah.
Nope. Not saying 0.0, but it's close.
I think there's a better chance of Joe Barry getting fired this year than there is of us ever signing a free agent offensive lineman.
That's a bold statement, but probably
Mario true. Lunar, not saying they're going to win, but the Lions defense has been trending as of late, and the Packers offense have been trending up, in my opinion. So I think you're saying they've been trending down while they've been trending up. Okay.
One of these. I mean, guys, the injuries, man. It's all about those injuries for the Packers. Who's going to play? Reed and Wicks are up tomorrow, I like our chances. If Reed and Wicks both play tomorrow, I like our chances.
Yeah. Ed Pierce, geesh, Corey, remember, it could be raining any given Sunday. Yeah, I'm with you.
I want to address Rick Harris. Rick Harris in the chat. Reed's a slot guy. Antonio Brown started as a slot guy. We have no idea what Reed might become on the field. Free your mind, man.
Old timer Dave, I like this. Since 2000, the Lions have won only 7 games on Thanksgiving. So you're saying there's a chance.
I like it.
Saying there's a chance. Nathan Hooper, going to the game. Don't expect to win, but if they somehow pull it off, it would be historic. So I feel lucky to even get a chance to witness that. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, bold. Nathan,
there you go. These, honestly, Nathan, these are the games that I always love going to. It's that away game where we have no chance because they are pretty incredible. If we pull it out, you'll never forget.
Maury's been to a few of those too.
I've been to a couple. Carl Van Beckham, thanks for super chat. I think we have a chance tomorrow if our D and O lines play out of their respective minds. It's a tall task, but I'm hopeful. Happy Thanksgiving, Carl.
We will see you tomorrow, buddy.
Thanks for super chat. William Walker, with Mark Murphy, I don't think he ever would have or wanted to try to restart at GM or head coach with one season left under his contract? I agree with that. Will Barry buy himself another year with the easy last few? Probably. Probably.
We'll see. It depends on how they look and how they play as far as like their play style. We'll see.
Oh, we got Tim Backus. Tim.
What's up,
Tim? Happy Thanksgiving, my dudes.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tim.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tim, and all of fellow writers and contributors to Cheesehead TV. I really appreciate everything you guys do. Lambo, Leo, Corey, Joe Barry is 2.5 at best on Yelp. Nah, one star. I get one star.
That's good. That's
what's
really good.
Funny is all the people trying to troll me about bratwurst. Like, bro, if you're trying to troll me about bratwurst, not here, Joe, I'm not accusing you. Actually, what it was reminding me was all of the people on Sunday, because I simmer my brats in, well, I cook them in onions and butter, and then I simmer them in beer like a normal fucking goddamn human being, and I got a little trolled for it.
Mike in the chat wants to know, what's your Thanksgiving dish, your favorite Thanksgiving dish, if you have one.
I don't know.
No bold take, huh?
I mean, here's the thing, like taking a nice piece of dark meat and then like some really good gravy and mashed potatoes all in one
gravy
bite.
Gravy, yeah. Like, hell yeah, baby. Come on now. Come on.
You got the butter in there.
Sir.
You got the mashies.
Yes, sir.
You got some nice gravy, and then you get the meat, and it's roasted, and it's got the smoky flavor.
Making me hungry now.
I like that. You know, I'm not getting any of that tomorrow because, oh, by the way, I can't go to any Thanksgiving because I'll be terribly producing our show tomorrow. So,
my favorite dish is my late mother's stuffing, which I am terribly, terribly going to miss. Tomorrow, I missed it last year, but man, she made the greatest stuffing. She had little bits of sausage in the stuffing, special German sausage. Oh my God! Let me tell you, it was heaven on earth. And thankfully,
my girlfriend's making
dinner tomorrow. I do.
You don't have the recipe.
My dad has it. At his house.
Why don't you try to recreate it?
Nobody wants me anywhere near a kitchen.
Such a slacker.
Nobody wants.
I have had point beer, Mike. As a matter of fact, point beer is currently in my beer fridge. So,
I have seen it in Corey's beer fridge and have had it from Corey's beer fridge.
Brandy, Barry is the vegan version of brats. Just ain't right.
That's pretty good.
I mean, is he though? I kind of feel like, you know what? If you go to Conop's, Joe Barry is one of the flavors that you're like. It's like, you know, like I think they had one time they had marshmallow. They had marshmallow and like s'mores. They had s'mores brats one time. Joe Barry's s'mores brats.
God, that sounds disgusting. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Don't ever say that in my presence again. I might hurl. That's awful. God, s'mores brats?
Oh, yeah, I think they had that one time. And you know what's funny about Conop's though? Here's the thing. I could tell you the craziest flavors that you probably don't like, but then when you actually have the brat, you're like, that's a good brat. That's how great Conop's is. Like
They are great.
I'm telling you right now, they make shitty flavors taste good. I'm telling you right now. It's just, that's what they do.
All right.
They wow you.
I don't
doubt also,
it. Man.
Also,
doubt
you know, one of the greatest, I honestly think Campfire Wieners could be better than a brat sometimes.
Jesus,
so,
Banky, you said it into a microphone. People can see and hear you.
I know people for a fact that will take a Conop, Campfire Wiener over a Conop brat, and they're actually chefs and stuff. It's crazy.
They should seek help.
Iram 442. I'm feeling good about tomorrow. Maybe it's the whiskey. Go pack.
Outstanding.
How do I love Joe Barry? Oh, speaking of pumpkin pie, you guys. Okay, somebody said it's pumpkin pie. Here's what's crazy, okay? I don't understand how I love Joe Barry. here's what's insane, okay? Most people have never had actual roast pumpkin pie, okay? So I grew five luxury, so literally the seed was called luxury pie. So I was like, oh, clearly I need to like grow this, right? Mm-hmm. So I was able to get five pumpkins out of it, and oh my goodness, our whole lives we've been misled with canned pumpkin pie. No one actually makes fresh pumpkin pie. So you take the pumpkins out, you take the seeds, which is great, then you roast the seeds. Seeds are amazing, which everybody knows about, right? Oh, so then you take that. The pumpkin, right? And then you roast it for like 45 minutes, right? And then you put it into a pumpkin pie. And I'm here to tell you right now, it is the most amazing thing I've ever had in my life. Like, we've been misled our whole entire lives with canned pumpkin pie. We really have. Everyone, most people in their lives have. It's like the Matrix, dude. It's like waking up in the Matrix, and you got all the things around you, and you're like, oh my god, I'm a battery. That's the moment when you have fresh pumpkin pie. Seriously, I'm not even joking. Not joking.
God, you're making me so damn hungry, man. This is. I mean,
William Walker, thanks for the super chat. I know you guys hate hypotheticals. So sorry if Vrabel Salah, both lost their jobs as head coach this season. Would you prefer at defensive coordinator if we're in the market, or other like our DB coach? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I mean, Salah. If Salah gets canned, I want him on the first thing smoking to Green Bay. Let's go. I don't think he's getting canned. Yeah. They're going to give him another year, and they're going to go, oh, this time with Rodgers, and they'll be on their way. But if it happens, yeah, I want him in Green Bay like as fast as possible. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we're talking hypotheticals.
I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be great.
I don't think it is either. That would be awesome. It would be amazing. Let's give a shout-out to our Patreon members, shall we? Cheesehead TV Patreon, folks. You guys are the bomb.com. You're the lifeblood of everything we do here at Cheesehead TV. We literally cannot exist without you. Thank you so much for your support. We really, obviously, greatly appreciate it. And you, thank you. As well as our Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. You guys talk about a growing community. We're getting more Carry the G Club members pretty much daily at this point. Really appreciate the support, everything you do for the channel. Thank you so, so much. And let's give a shout out to Patreon and Carry the G Club members. For those of you who will be in the area next week for the Chiefs game, we have our annual meetup. They're at Titletown, right across the way in Aaron's Hill, right in the kind of the bowels there, overlooking Lambeau Field and Titletown. It's a lot of fun. The information is on the community page here on YouTube and on the Patreon page next Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a lot of fun. Shout out to Charlene, who has basically put this together for the last 3 years. She is amazing. Patreon member extraordinaire. And then the following week, if you're in the New York City area, come on out Sunday night, December 10th, the night before the Giants game. I'll be down at Kettle of Fish in the Village. And after I booked this, literally the Packers have Mark Murphy showing up at Kettle of Fish at 6:30. So Mark Murphy will be the opening act for the New York City Cheesehead TV meetup. And I think let the record will be reflect, funny, we were there first.
I think what will be funny, so Mark Murphy was the only Packers employee that didn't know me when I walked right by me. So I think I'm not surprised, right? And it's fine, but I'm just saying the only one. I saw 100 Packer employees, I think, on Saturday, and he was the only
one. Here's the other thing, Corey. You mentioned that before. I will say this. I know Mark Murphy knows who I am, and he has walked by me several times without saying
I think Mark Murphy thinks I'm Tom Grossi. I think Mark Murphy thinks I'm Tom Grossi. Really, seriously. Tom actually told me that one time. It's this funny story. Also, on Cultured Barbarian, with a late super chat, I'm old, Corey, and grew up out in the sticks. I've had more roasted things than you could believe. Okay, I believe you. Also, Heath Soder is drinking Oshkosh Lager. You want to talk about trash?
Wow. Oh, God, you want to talk about a bad
trash.
Beer? Wow.
That is terrible. Beer. I thought it was going to be good. Another beer. I was like so excited, but it is
I was just
going to
say, another beer I had in your beer fridge. Like, that is
it's
not a good
bad.
Beer.
It's bad. You're like, ooh, Oshkosh Lager. I love
I know.
Oshkosh,
I was very excited.
No, that's a no.
Not good.
No, and also, Nagler neglected to mention, but next Saturday, And we don't have a graphic for this, but we will.
We don't, because I don't have any information, Bank.
I gave you the information. I gave you everything, and I'm going to give them to them right now. 12 to 2, we are having a tasting at Ridgeview Liquor before the Patreon happy hour.
Let's go!
We will be having tasting sampling at Ridgeview Liquor on Ridge Road, just outside of Lambeau, of Carrie the G, requested by the owner of Ridgeview Liquor. Because so many of you go there to buy it, and highly recommend doing so, by the way. They have an amazing stand with a nice cooler of Carry the G. So cool. You know, Saturday, yeah, if you want to hang out with us, you basically know where we're going to be. So
where we're going to be.
I'm a little bit scared of letting everybody know that, but yes, Nagler will be in Green Bay. He'll be in Green
I'll
Bay
be there
next week. And, you know, hopefully we've invited Taylor to come to taste Carry the G at Ridgeview and to the meetup. So we'll see what she says.
She's got it.
See
She's
if she shows up.
Out. She's got to come out. It 100% has to come out. Cannot wait. You got anything else for the fine folks out there, Banky, or are you ready to wrap it up?
No, we got some exciting news we can possibly say next week. But I'm just going to tease that out there. Some very, very exciting news for Carry the G that we're going to find out about
very
next week
close.
As well.
Very close.
But to announce that I'm very excited to announce. But no, have a happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you on the watch party tomorrow morning. And hopefully I only have like 4 mistakes the entire time of 3 hours.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.